session number 26550,
Reel 4. Mr. McAvoy, Reel 4. Now, we're talking about your time on working up trials at Bermuda. You reckon that was around about September still?
We weren't there long. We'd only been there for a matter of weeks, but I can't remember how long. I can't remember.
Do you remember any of the other exercises you had to do there?
I remember getting dropped in the... I got a job entry in the barricades. You know the Carly floats? He had a barricade on them for fresh water. Now, to get the water out of them, you had to undo the tap. And the idea was that the tap was a very slow tap, so that you wouldn't overlease. I'm talking about when you're actually a survivor. But to get it out quicker, you had to borrow a pair of pliers from the stores and take out the plug at the top, which I did. And a mate of mine coming down for a crafty smoke kicks the pliers and they go over the side. And they're in about 6 foot of water. It one of those bays where the bottom went like that. And we were on these two pontoons. And you could see them on the bottom. So I waited till the pipe ends to dinner. Whipped my overalls up, over the side, got the pliers, and here's the bloke. Come with me. And I got charged for 4 pair of pliers. A pair of borrowed. A pair of borrowed and failed to return. A pair that was lost from the stores. And a pair to replace the lot pair. So I got charged 4 lots of pliers. I think it worked out.
I thought you got it out.
I got them out. But they wouldn't have that. Plus, absent the ship without permission, you name it. The Navy could stick. If you got caught smoking, which I didn't at any time. They could make about 10 charges out of that.
So what happened as a result of all these charges? I mean, did you just...
the Navy had a thing which they thought was nice toward these sailors. They called it 10A, or Jenk, as you might know it as. Swines.
And what was 10A?
Oh, well, you report it for 2 hours every morning before breakfast. You report it every dinner time for half an hour. Every evening for another couple of hours. They had all kinds of dirty jobs, like washing a galley out, screwing pans and things like that. The farmer was finding something to do on a small ship.
Anything else happening at Bermuda? Any other exercises you remember doing?
Not really.
Did you get ashore at all? Tell me about that.
Rum. 6 bob a bottle. Frightened at distillers now, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So what did you do when you went to shore? Where did you go?
Mostly swimming, actually. It's a beautiful place. Years later, I met a fella. I worked with him in the flour mills. And he was talking to me one day. He said, I've known you for a lot of years. I said, have you? He said, I remember you coming to the chart depot in Malabar. I said, Christ, George, you've got a better memory. And he actually better photograph of me and his wife. But the natives there were very good to us. Mind you, there wasn't mostly youngsters.
So you were there just in September, you reckon?
We weren't there long. You know, how many weeks, I don't know.
So what next?
Then we came back.
Back to England?
Yeah.
With a convoy or on your own?
We came back on a convoy. Went to St. John's in Newfoundland and picked up a convoy. And that's when we got the submarine. Round about October, the end of October. I'm not sure.
Now, tell me the whole story. What exactly happened as far as you saw it?
Haven't you ever read it? It's in a book.
Well, you tell us what you saw and what where you were, what your memory are.
Well, it was mostly during the night. We were over there for a long while. And then we got told the next morning we got the thing, but we never actually seen it come up.
Do you know which U-boat it was?
Yeah, 538. And I think the date was the 21st of October. It's in the book, this. I've got the book in the back.
But as far as you were concerned, you don't remember much about it.
Well, we never, you know, we hear these dramatic games. We blew it to the surface, then blew it out the water. Well, it never happened with us.
It was done by depth charges. It was
done by depth charges. We were over it for something like 20-odd hours.
Were you at the action stations all that time, then?
Of course.
So you'd be back on the X-gun?
Yep. There was three ships, Crane, Black Swan and us.
And was it not tiring being at action stations for that length of time?
Well, again, we were kids. You didn't think of getting tired. You hated it. You know, and especially when he came round with corned beef sandwiches in the middle of the night instead of a dinner. But it was... it was excitement. Life was exciting all the time.
What was it like when the depth charges went off?
Noisy, believe me. And I never seen one go off. Didn't cause a splash. Marvellous. 100 feet in the air, nobody.
Did it have much effect on the ship? I mean, they weren't very big ships. I mean, did it knock you about a bit on the ship, or would you normally be far enough away to...
Oh, shook. Shuddered, you know. But I don't... being honest with you, I can't remember how much the effect it had on the ship. But there was no corking as such on the deck edge, you know, where it went down the mess decks. I have been on other ships where there were days clearing up the corking up the deck edge.
What do you mean corking?
Well, they used to cork them, paint them and throw cork on it. And the idea was to, you know, cut down on the moisture, the dampness on the mess deck. But as soon as the depth charge went off, oh, that was falling off.
Now, so you didn't... How did you know you'd sunk it if it didn't cut? Do you know what I mean? Because it's difficult to tell you sunk.
Well, they give you... if you were still over it, you're still getting an echo up it. Once the echo died, you knew you'd got it. That's how they used to work it out. And you've got a DSO for this, though.
Now, anything else about that convoy? Back to Britain.
No doubt. It took us about... I think it was about 3 weeks. Just to come from Newfoundland. But they were switching us from convoy to convoy. At one stage in that convoy, they were so... pushed. We actually transferred depth charges by Carly Float from another ship. The Woodcock, I think. I'm not sure.
So you were using a fair number of depth charges, and not two ways about it.
Yeah, as I say, we only had about 20, two racks of 20.
That's originally,
That's the original, yeah. But it was only after that when they added to it.
Did you get tired at sea? I mean, I know you said you're young, but I mean, that's just for one night of staying. But what about when it was night after night after night, day after day for this number of weeks?
Well, you used to work three watches constantly.
Well, tell me about the watch system, because a lot of people now don't understand the watch system.
Well, it used to be red, white and blue. No. It'd be four on and eight off. Now, so we'd say you had the first dog, which was four to six. You'd have the second dog off. You'd have the first watch off. But you'd have the middle watch from 12 o'clock to 4. And because it was constant like that, you would switch round day after day after
so
day.
So the dog watches would switch it round?
Oh, yeah, that's why they were designed that wedding. They were 2 hours where the others were 4 hours, you know.
And did you find it tiring when you were at sea, just keeping on going like that, four on, eight off?
I don't know. I can't remember that much. I can remember going ashore. The relief when you walk down that gangway. Brilliant. especially when it was, I think it was about 10 pence a pint for Guinness.
Now, where did you go? You know, you got back to England. Well, got to England.
Went to Belfast.
Now, were you one of the ships based at Pollock Dock?
No, we went to Pollock Dock for the refit. That's where he fitted the extra depth charges. And he sent us them. So the,
as far as you know, that's the main thing they did at Pollock Dock. That was...
Well, he put us in, we were in barracks there for about a fortnight, I think. in an old monitor. Caroline.
Oh, the old light cruiser.
Yeah. after we'd refitted, they sent us round to Derry, where we became the canteen boat with a 4B escort group.
B4?
B4, yeah.
What does canteen boat mean?
You're the one that get all the lousy jobs. Everybody called you the canteen boat.
So you joined them about, what, November 43, or would it be December? Just before Christmas?
Just before Christmas, because we sailed for Christmas.
Now, what did this... the canteen boat, why were you the canteen... Why were you the canteen boat? Had someone done something wrong?
We were the youngest. We had the youngest, and we also had our NBR skipper. We'd lost a three-ring Navy fella for a two-ring Navy, RNBR fella. And they always got the dirty jobs. So consequently, because he got it, we had to follow with him wherever he went.
And that was what they call the canteen boat.
Canteen boat.
Now, what about you? Let's talk about some of these officers, because we haven't really before. Who was your first skipper?
His name was Donald Mansfield.
And what was he like? He would be a lieutenant commander, was he? Or
he was a lieutenant commander. When he left the Navy in 47, 48, he was a commander. But also, he was a retired lieutenant commander.
Now, what was Lieutenant Commander Donald Mansfield like? What was he like as skipper? He was your first skipper.
Very, very fair. a nice fella to speak to. A bit stern, but then again, that was his job. Well, the next one...
Did he know his job? I mean...
He knew it. He was Old Navy. Well, the other fella...
So, what do you mean by Old Navy? Sorry, just...
It's hard to define the difference between. If they were Royal Navy, they were Royal Navy right down their backbone. You can't separate that.
He was a regular.
He was a regular.
Now, the next chap was...
Charles Richard Bird.
Bert.
Bird.
Bird, B-I-R-D.
He was a solicitor from Bristol.
He would also be a lieutenant commander, I presume.
No, he was a lieutenant.
Oh, right.
Two-ringer. When he joined us, 6 weeks later, they made him a lieutenant commander. Guess what they called him? Dickie.
And what was he like? Now, he was RNVR, I presume.
RNVR.
Now, what was he like? And what was good and what was bad about him compared to the other bloke?
Well, never had much to do with him because I always avoided trouble. But it was.
What do you mean by that? I mean,
you know, there's an old saying: "Don't trouble trouble, don't trouble trouble to you." And when I seen him, I didn't like the looks of him, so keep away from him.
What? Why? What didn't you like the look of?
I didn't like the look of him. He was a big guy. He was probably a nice fella, but to me, he was a bloody big pansy. You know, wavy hair and. Always dressed immaculate. Whereas the other fella, you couldn't imagine him being... you couldn't imagine him being dressed up at all. But he was smart, if you follow me. But this fella had this little bit of... a typical solicitor.
Now, did he know his job? I mean...
Oh, yeah. We went alongside an oiler down at Mobile and he tore the light boat off it. This is true, this.
So you're saying he didn't know his job?
He hadn't got a bloody clue. But he got by because he obviously had friends in high places. That the way the lads used to say it. Mind you, I'll say this. If you ever read a book called Escort, well, you get a hold of it. And it's got a story about this fella in it. And it'll intrigue you. Doesn't matter where you went in the world, he would not change the clocks. Do you know what an inconvenience that can be? You just imagine, say 2 hours different between us in Gibraltar, and you get there and the piping hands to breakfast on us and the piping liberty men ashore on the ship alongside you. Oh, he was a cowboy.
What was he like as a disciplinarian? I mean, the other bloke had been strict but fair. What was he like, Bird?
I don't know, as I say, I avoided him.
What about the rest of the lads? I mean, you know, what did they think of him? Was he considered a disciplinarian, or was he considered an easy ride?
They hated the bloody sight of him, actually. See, he then surrounded himself with all kinds of RNBR officers, where we'd never had them before.
So, who were your first lieutenants that you might remember?
Ah, the best one was a two-ringer, and his name always sticks in my mind. Eric Dennis Bindon Ayres.
Bindon?
Bindon.
Ayres.
Ayres. A-Y-R-E-S.
And what was he like?
A nice boy. He was a nice fella.
Was he a regular?
No, RNBR.
Now, what was he like? I mean, first lieutenant's important on any ship, but what was he? What did you think of him?
Well, he put me in a rattle twice, so I didn't very well take kindly to him. But then again, he live and let live. Now, the next one.
Now, why did he put you in the rattle twice?
Smoking.
All right, I'll come back to that.
Dodge in the column.
I'll
I can't remember, but something like that.
Now, so was he popular, Bindon Ayres?
Yeah, I think he was. He was a good organiser, you know, when it came to things like football matches or dances or something like that. He was all right there.
Now, what was the next first lieutenant?
John. I think his name was John Davis. He was the son of a vicar. And all I can remember about him is he came from the Vale of the Four Shires. What the hell's the name of the place?
Doesn't matter much. What was he like, more to the point, if you see what I mean?
Oh, well, he was our end fella. Step back. One of those fellas who you could see the hairs on his neck standing up when you looked at him. He joined the ship as we were about to sail. And I had the job.
Bindon Ayres wasn't with you long.
About 6-7 months, I'm not sure.
Oh, sorry, so he joined the ship as you were about to sail from England?
Yeah.
Right, okay, carry on then.
And he said, starboard flag. Now, they had a system. You know, as you take a wire inboard, the propellers are chaining. You know what the propellers are chaining? To save fouling the propellers, they have a man with two flags. Now, in the Navy, it's a white one, a green one, and a red one. Starboard is the green one, red is the port. But this is a Yankee ship. And he shouted, starboard flag. So I sticks out the white one. And he screamed at me, you poop. And all the lads were doing this behind his back. The starboard flag, and I still didn't change it. And the next morning, I'm in the rattle. You deliberately disobeyed me. When, sir, he said you held up a white flag. Said, this is not the Royal Navy, sir. This is the Yankee Navy. We haven't got a green flag. get about your business, get about your business. And every time I went near him, he'd walk away. Wouldn't look at me. Just made me...
So you didn't like him?
Well, obviously not.
Any other officers that come to mind, you know, characters?
Yeah, one I'd love to know. Who caught me dreaming after the war. I was going in a pub in Lime Street. I've been out 2 years. I was going in a pub in Lime Street and a voice behind me said, "That man there, square yourself up, put your cap on straight," and your instinct, not the Navy instinct for all them years, you start to do it. What the bloody hell? And his name was Stewart. Ian Stewart.
A lieutenant?
He was a lieutenant. But he finished up the... I don't know whether he was a commodore or a superintendent for the CPR lines.
And what was he like? I mean, he sounds like a bit of a joker there. I mean, what
was
he was like?
A character. They went... They went to a party, a wedding or something like that, and I was coxswain on the boat in Gibraltar. This was when Bindon Ayres was the skipper. And they all liked the tipple, you know, the pop. And they said, "Pick us up at 10:30. So up round I goes in the boat. And coming back, they go through the boat locker. And they're throwing thunder flashes. You ever heard one of them go off? Well, they go off on contact with water, with salt water. And the next thing is, the sirens are going. Searchlights are going. This was a jib. And all the lights are on. You wouldn't believe the hoo. And when we got back aboard the ship, when I come alongside, there's everybody with a rifle and revolvers and... closed up on the Orlikans and the Bofors. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, there's somebody trying to sink the ships." And what was happening? These fools had thrown them over the side and they'd turned the whole of the rock out. Guess where we finished up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Outside the bar. They were clowns, them fellas. That's in a book, yeah.
What book are you talking about, Sam?
It's in a book. The book's called Escort, and it's written by...
Oh, that book, yeah. But it's not specifically about the captain class.
No. But he mentions a lot about the captain class in there. He was on Highlander. What was his name? I can't remember.
Doesn't matter much. Now, so, any other characters, any other officers?
Oh, yeah. The gunner. Alongside the wall in Derry. And he takes a young lady into the wardroom. Well, I say young lady, you know, youngster. And the next thing is, the sentry comes up the gangway, he said, "Hey, scouts." He said, "There's a woman there, said she's the gunner's wife." I said, "What?" I said, "It can't be, she's in the wardroom." So I rung the wardroom, I said, "Excuse me, sir. Do you mind me saying there's a lady here said she's your wife?" When he goes down the mess deck for the cup of tea after I finish me watch, there's this woman sitting there. She said, "Will you go and find out if it's all right for me to go home?" He had another one on. And the day...
Who was this? You haven't said who he was yet.
I can't remember his name. Brunson? No, I can't remember his name, but it was only a small fella. But he spent all his life in the Navy, that fella.
Did they often bring women aboard, the officers?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Now, let's get back to the thing. So, you were with the B4 Escort Group.
Yeah.
At Derry.
Yeah.
That's Londonderry, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah. And what were the other ships in B4?
Braithwaite. Oh, bloody hell. Highlander. It was the destroyer.
It was a mixed escort group,
yeah. The Captain D was Helmsdale. Braithwaite, what was it?
Did you get on well with the crews from the other ships? Did you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
with no.
I never seen some of them eat him. I suppose there was some of them, but I never seen him. It was no good me spinning a yarn about doing a fight and this and that.
Would you actually mix with them, you know, when you were in harbour?
Of course, yeah.
Socially, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there, the ship's dance, you got invited. You had to pay, like, but you got invited.
So, what was the first, sort of, you know, you joined him sort of around about Christmas time. What was the first thing you remember once you'd got to Londonderry?
When I first went to Derry. Not much, really, because we sailed the same day, I think, if I remember rightly. more trials, you know, acceptance trials from Belfast.
So, any different from the... Or was this a bit of a pain again for you, the refit trials?
Not really. You grew to the stage where you accepted, you know, what went on from day to day.
Now tell me about this cigarette smoking and getting into trouble for that. What sort of thing would you be doing to get you into trouble?
Hiding where you thought somebody wouldn't find you, but they did.
So malingering, they used to call it.
Of course.
And you were doing it deliberately?
Of course. Mind you, I'm digging. As a kid, I was a habitual smoker. I don't smoke now. I mean, I haven't smoked for a long time, but...
So you actually wanted a cigarette, and you weren't allowed to smoke on duty, I presume?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, people say, you want a cigarette. I'm not even sure I wanted one. I just had to have one at that time. And I would have one. Well, they were typical bloody scouts. Rebel.
And that was the main thing you were in trouble for, was it?
Yeah. I can't remember anything else.
And where would you go to hide?
Oh, in a spud locker. Up behind one of the gun shields. Crouched down behind the toilets, you name it. We'd have a go.
And who'd find you?
Oh, you always... always somebody you didn't like. We had one particular fella. An acting petty officer. His name was Vaughan. Vaughan Davis, or Davis Vaughan, or something like that. And he'd find you. But the world found him out. We went into Ventnor in 1940.
No, stay in time, because otherwise it gets to be a right mess, we'll not know. So what did you think of the petty officers generally, to make it more general? We'll come back to that.
Most of them were pretty genuine fellas.
How did they treat you?
Oh, reasonably well.
They weren't bullies. Still,
you know, you had your likes and dislikes, as you will do in any walk of life. But they were all right with us.
So it was only Vaughan, whatever his name is, you didn't like much, the actor. That was the others you liked.
True.
What about the leading seaman? Same or?
Oh, we had one of them. Oh, yeah. Do you want a good story? I'll tell you a good story now. when we were in Belfast, we were in a place called the Pollock Dock.
That's a refit.
Yeah. And the killing of the mess with a fella called Ron Shepherd, who was a South African and crude to say the least. And they used to whip four of you out and say, you're shore patrol tonight. And this Shepherd was the leading hand. And in the canteen he shouted, and 9:30 there was the last drinks them days. And he said, clear the canteen. Nobody moved. Clear the canteen, second warning. Nobody moved. So we stood on a stool. You know these big old-fashioned stoves where you used to feed the coal in the top? And he pissed on it. He cleared the canteen in 2 seconds flat, including us. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
That is pretty crude.
It is crude, but it was true, that. Ronnie Shepherd.